Well, good evening and welcome everybody to Conscious Thought with Leo on PBS radio talk show. And I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. So welcome everybody and welcome Corinne Brennan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much, Corinne. I'm so excited and thank you very much for taking my invitation to be on the show. But before we start with our interview, I just wanted to wish you Happy New Year, and I wanted to wish Happy New Year and Happy 2016 to our listeners. And I have to say, tomorrow it will be 1 year that I started my radio show. I'm so excited. I mean, I've been through a lot of trials and tribulation. So, you know, I'm excited that we have an amazing guest tonight. And also, folks, before we start with the interview, I just wanted to let you know, if you wanted to interact and have questions for Corinne, please call in. The number is 1-888-627-6008. And well, let's go, Corinne. I'm so excited. Listen, I decided for 2016, I wanted to bring a message of hope and change and, you know, help people with a transformation and transition. And who is better than, you know, to present this to our audience than you? So what I would like to do is give us a little information about you. I know you are internationally known permaculture designer and educator focused on creating a regenerative design that address a number of key problems that world is facing today. So tell us more about that and let us know, how did you get involved in permaculture?
Well, I've always been interested in solutions to kind of gnarly problems, and I had been working in the field of human rights, and there's a lot of issues there that seem insolvable. And then a friend introduced me to permaculture, and it struck me, as so many people, it strikes so many people this way, that it makes so much sense. And it's so easy to implement, regardless of the challenges of where you are or what's happening in your life or, you know, the resources that you may or may not have available to you. It is something that you can use to improve your life and to really improve far beyond yourself. So that it's very exciting in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. See, remember, you know, the way I actually met you, I wanted to just all listen and know about that. I was actually looking forward to, you know, to meet you as my future guest, you know, on my show. And, you know, I was invited and I was sitting in your class, and 10 minutes into the class, I was sold. Because all these principles you were talking about, and I was very much strike, you know, living on the edge, that it just, you know, took the breath away. I said, these principles are applying almost the same as it's implying in my healing, you know, healing the body, healing the earth, you know, making changes.
Mm. There's so many parallels, isn't there?
Exactly.
It's all integrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I really love about permaculture is that it does integrate everything, and that's really a core aspect of it. Is you know, so much in our society is separated out. You have kids going to school over here, and you have your work over there, and you have politics over there, and you have the economy, which nobody understands. And permaculture brings it all back down to a livable level and integrates it in a way that facilitates well-being and for individuals and also for ecosystems, which is so nice that you can have both. You really can.
Absolutely, Corinne. This is exactly why I was so fascinated, and I shared this with you, that, you know, we are facing the challenges in economy and environment, air pollution, water pollution, and all the essential human needs are in jeopardy. And all of a sudden, you know, and everybody is talking about, you know, the problems, and nobody knows the solution. And when I, you know, started the class with you guys, it was just, oh my God, I mean, we have to be open, and the solutions are there.
Mm. Yes, and it's exciting because people are applying these solutions all over the world in many different echelons and circumstances. And you know, when you have principles that are true principles, then they do work in any situation across the board. You can use them in regardless of the circumstance. and they, you can come up with some benefits as a result.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I would actually like you to kind of let our, you know, listener know that you actually helped, you know, to do, create, you know, disaster relief for thousands of Haitian, you know, livings and, you know, and other sustainable, you know, agriculture and stuff. You did a quite a bit of projects around. I would like you to kind of emphasize on that, please.
Yes. Well, you know, when I was exposed to these principles, I got really excited because I could see that they do apply to many different situations. And I found myself kind of being handed some pretty challenging situations. And it was a great experience because it helped me really see how the tools and the principles work in many different situations. And I've had a project up at Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, the Lakota Reservation, for a few years. And that's gotten some really interesting results, a lot of results on the invisible structure level. And that's something that we deal with. A lot of people think permaculture is just gardening. And it is. There's a lot of gardening involved in permaculture and food raising, but it's much, much more than that. It's not limited to just gardening. And I've found that when you garden, when you're trying to grow food, when you're trying to do anything with human beings, you do have to deal with that internal aspect of people as well, that invisible structure, not only in oneself and in other individuals, but as a culture, you know. And I love the way that permaculture integrates those aspects into a design of a food system, for instance, or a household or anything like that.
Well, that was what was so fascinating for me, and it's still fascinating, Corinne, that, you know, that we are dealing with, you know, internal permaculture almost, not just the external, you know, so you will actually shift totally inside and find new solution. That was so fascinating. To me, it almost looked like internal, external is almost, you know, playing both sides together.
Yeah, exactly. And you take the first principle, for instance, which is my favorite principle probably, and that is observe and interact. And there's many different ways to do that. And it's so key to doing a good design or coming up with a good solution for anything is to really observe what are you coming up with a solution for. Don't assume that you know. So many, it's so easy for us to do that, to make assumptions. And, you know, instead of just sitting back and going, what really is going on here? Let's not assume anything. Let's just really look and let it unfold and make sure that we really see what's happening. And, you know, it's that personal relationship as well. When you go and look at something instead of reading a book about it or listening to someone's opinion about it, you go and look for yourself and you create that relationship with that thing yourself. So you observe it and then you interact with it because you now have a relationship with it. So when you're doing that with a plant, for instance, it's a very different thing than learning in school about how much nitrogen to put on that plant or how much water to give it or anything like that. And it's such a missing element in so much of what we do. And when we don't observe, we end up making major errors and not even noticing that we're making them.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? This is what was so fascinating to me, to practically what I learned that, you know, in the health and wellness, what I'm recognizing, people are, you know, totally disconnected from the body. In the permaculture, I'm recognizing that we are totally disconnected from the nature.
There's a lot of parallels there, isn't there?
This is why I'm saying. I mean, I was just stunned.
Mm-hmm. because the body is nature, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So there are so many correlations, and the whole things, what I am recognizing, the most important thing is the relationship.
You know,
look like you're saying, yes, you can read books, blah, 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 but you have to now to apply. And when you are working with the nature, a lot of our time, it's totally different because until we understand the nature, nature can play against us.
And if you understand nature, you can understand your own self better because you are part of it. And there's many correlations. It's a beautiful thing to be able to observe patterns, for instance, which is something that permaculture does a lot. What are the patterns of behavior or seasonal changes or, human interaction in a group setting or all of these different things? When you come to understand these things, then you can think with how can we design our lives or our cultures or our communities or our households to facilitate well-being and to facilitate the healthiest patterns that we're capable of. And it's really interesting to look at the correlation between the structures that we live in and how we are doing as human beings. I really do feel that there's a very specific correlation. We don't always think about that. We don't always ask ourselves, could we do this better? Is there a way that we could, create an economy that would serve us as human beings better and would take care of nature better? Could we think up way outside the box and not assume that we have to do this in any way that we're doing it right now? What possibilities are there? So permaculture is very creative. It's a very creative endeavor. It's inspiring. The principles of it help you get kind of outside of the box and ask these bigger questions, not only, about society, but about your own life. And that's really exciting, too. I've had so many changes in my own life because of studying the subject that have been positive and life-affirming.
Oh, I'm sure, because, I have to say this. I mean, I grew up on the farm, and that was one of the reasons that I was actually rejecting the permaculture, because I didn't know how permaculture works. And I realized at the age of 15, I was already sick and tired of, living on the farm. So I wanted to have something, just go to the store, buy it. But when I started now to study the permaculture, I recognized it's completely different than when I grew up, on the farm. Sometimes you can make it totally simple. You don't have to be, having a big garden or whatever. You can start small. Correct?
Yes, absolutely. There's urban permaculture, and that's something that I've specialized in because I've lived in cities most of my life. You can. It's amazing how much food you can grow in your backyard without a lot of effort by working with nature instead of against nature, not fighting nature, not trying to do things that go against the natural patterns of your particular yard or your particular community or region, but working with that community and region to grow things that would naturally want to grow there and are super nutritious, super delicious, easy to prepare. And, it's just so much pleasure for me to go. I live in Central Florida and we have a semi-tropical climate. And instead of trying to grow lettuce, I grow tropical greens and they love it here. They flourish, they grow wild all over my roof and everywhere. And I have so many greens that are packed with nutrition that I can't possibly use them all in my little yard. So, and at very little effort, I throw some seeds out, they grow, and I just go and harvest them. It's so much more pleasurable to do that than to get in your car and go to the store and wait in line and get lettuce that's been sitting around for 2 weeks and doesn't have that life force in it. And it may be delicious, but it's nothing like picking it out of your yard.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that gives you a lot of life force and nutritional value that you just can't get without that kind of live food. So, and you can do that even if you live in an apartment. You can grow things on your balcony that will give you that extra boost of nutrition and that connection with nature and growing your own food. There's something about growing your own food that's just very primal.
Oh, absolutely. And this is what it was so fascinating, Corinne, for me, you know, just to recognize, wait a minute, number one, what was missing for me is the educational aspect. And I have to say that too, is that, you know, the more I'm reading, the more confused I'm getting. So I have to kind of first start to sort out. But, you know, every new subject is, you know, confusing in the beginning. So it takes time, you know, until you figure out what you want and stuff. But what I was reading actually maybe 2-3 years ago about the folks in Maine, they were doing permaculture, and somebody was talking about that. Actually, even if you're buying in the health food stores, the products, you are thinking they're organic and they have, good nutrition, they say, no, it's not necessarily true. And I was totally stunned that people are paying such a huge amount of money for the products and they are not getting the valuable nutritions.
Right, right. Yes, and organic, especially if it's mass produced, there's no way you can mass produce food without using some kind of poison to keep pests under control or fungus or whatever. And, they have poisons that are less toxic than commercial food or conventional food. But, it's when you grow in harmony with nature, you don't need that kind of toxicity. And then you also, of course, have that live food. I mean, you can pick your salad, put it in a bowl, and eat it immediately. And there's no way you can get the nutrition from any other source than you can by doing that. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, and this is why I actually also love, the ethic of the permaculture, you know, care for the earth, care for people, and a fair share. It's, you know, creating immediately a totally different balance. And, when we are just kind of relying on a huge agriculture, you know, there's this huge imbalance. And I don't want to put a, you know, kind of negative spin on that because, you know, we are where we are. I'm actually just kind of, you know, sharing the information that, you know, if somebody is looking for, you know, to create a transition in their own lives, they can actually start with a small, you know, just if you're living in a city, you can, you know, look like you were talking about, you know, small gardens and in start small and share with maybe with your friends and family. That's all what I'm trying to say, you know. And there are so many more, you know, so there are so many more people who are doing this more and more.
Yes, it's becoming more popular. And from a lot of angles, community gardens is another way that you can do it. And then, you know, permaculture looks at many different yields. Like a lot of times in this culture, we think of yield as how much money do I make? And that's you make money in order to do all of these other things. So we just go directly to these other things that people want money for. You know, what's really important in life? Let's ask ourselves that. What's really precious to us? What would we want if we could have anything that we want? You know, and we design for that. We start with that question, and we go from there and figure out how can we create that in our life. And there's so many different ways to integrate your food production with a wonderful, warm, supportive community, for instance, or even making some extra money or learning about life or just so many different things.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think all this imbalance, what it shows actually right now economically and in environment is actually just a reflection how we lost actually touch with the nature and actually with our own environment.
That's really a good point.
Yeah, because so practically we are more or less right now forced back to reconnect to the nature, reconnect to the community, reconnect to the work with each other. Otherwise, we are kind of spreading or moving more and more apart.
And culture is designed to create that to some degree, and some designers are coming up saying, wait a minute, how can we design our cities and our urban areas and our, all these cement areas to reflect real life and to bring nature back into our communities? And we can all do that in our own way, however, wherever we live, it's really beautiful.
Absolutely. So, Corinne, tell us a little, so how we would actually define permaculture, what is that?
Well, it's a set of design tools to create a more regenerative lifestyle. So you have a very specific tool set, toolbox of actions and ways of thinking and different site assessment tools, et cetera, that allow you to come up with a way to change whatever you have into something better and into something healthier, more ecologically friendly, more stronger community and support group, more heart-centered economics. All of these aspects are included in that tool set.
So do we have, I was starting to read about that and just kind of look like this is why I'm saying I kind of got lost about different type of, permaculture. We have, organic, we have a permaculture, we have a perennials and all this stuff. It's like, oh my God. So do you mind talk about a little so that we can kind of get a little idea about that?
The difference between permaculture and organic, or how they are alike, or is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. Organic is, basically reduction of chemicals, reduction of toxins in the system. So you could have organic cotton for your clothing or organic food. It doesn't mean that food was grown in a way that's sustainable or that actually regenerates the earth. And it can be grown the same way as food that you use a lot of chemicals on. And what this does is it depletes the soil. It can use up too much water. It does various things to the ecosystem that makes it harder to keep growing food over many generations or even over many years. So permaculture, it comes from an integrative viewpoint where we're looking at food production as something that should enhance the ecosystem instead of deplete it. By understanding how ecosystems work and how they naturally produce abundance, because they are incredibly abundant things on their own without any interference, by understanding that, we're able to produce abundant food just as much as conventional agriculture can produce, and maybe even more.
That aspect was fascinating when I find it out for myself. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know that.
And we do it in a way that regenerates the soil and regenerates the water supply and regenerates the mineral, the nutritional value of the food, et cetera. So, we're able to capture carbon. A lot of people are concerned with pollution and the weather patterns and changing climate. And permaculture is actually able to capture carbon into the soil and reduce the carbon level that we're dealing with right now on the planet. It can do so many healthy things on so many levels because it approaches things from an integrated viewpoint and from the viewpoint of really understanding how we work and how nature works.
Wow. So
that's the difference. And we use organic methods. We use any tool that works But what makes us different, what makes permaculture different than other, some of these other very positive and healthy practices, is that we integrate them. I would say that was the main difference.
Well, you know, that actually reminded me, I have to go back again to the body. That actually reminded me that, for instance, you know, I love to use the meridians on the body, which are actually from the Eastern philosophy, how to use the elements, you know, implement the elements and work with the elements. Because if we have a stagnation in one element, then, you know, other elements are suffering, you know, and bring to... And bring to bring balance to their body. At the same thing, what I'm recognizing is happening with the permaculture.
Yeah, there's like the whole holistic health movement, I think, has approached things in a very similar way with the body as permaculture does with the natural systems and with human built environments. I think there's a lot of similarities there with philosophy and approach and
Absolutely. So what are the permaculture principles? And do you mind to kind of tell us a little more about every principle so you will kind of get the ideas about?
Sure. I'll talk about a few of them. We spoke about observe and interact. That's my favorite principle. And, you know, I'm going to urge listeners to go out and try this. Go out and just sit in your yard someplace or sit in some place of nature near a tree or near a bunch of trees if you can, and just observe. Sit there for 5-10 minutes and just be quiet and just listen, feel the wind. Just use all of your senses to observe what's happening in the area. This is really good exercise for the garden. And it's very relaxing as well. So that's just a little thing that people can go do. Another principle that I think is really, really key is to apply self-regulation and accept feedback. And that is something that's often left out of design work or whatever people are doing. When you accept feedback, you find out how is your design doing, and this is something you really want to know. And it's sometimes people resist finding out when something is failing because they've been taught that failure is dangerous, or you know, there's consequences to failure, or whatever is in their past.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
But, Yeah. And if you can accept feedback from the viewpoint of more like a viewpoint of a scientist, like just being curious and interested, well, how is this going to do? You know, if I plant the plant this way, and maybe you'll even kill a plant by planting it the wrong way. And that's okay. It's part of the natural design. And the thing is to learn from it. What did I do? You know, where was that plant? Where did I plant it? Did I water it? Did I give it too much water? Just, you know, understand what you did with that plant and approach it from like a science experiment. And then it doesn't become so personal. I've learned so much by using that principle. And when I leave it out, I usually regret it. Yeah. Another principle is catch and store energy. And this is such a fun principle, and it can be applied in so many, many ways on many, many levels, because energy is in everything. It's in everything that we do, whether it's, right? There's many different kinds of energy, and we're not just talking about like electricity or gasoline. Rain falling on your land can be a form of energy. People coming into your neighborhood could be a form of energy. Even ideas, money, etc. So, you know, why do you catch and store it? Well, you want to use energy effectively. You want to be aware of the energies that are coming into your space. and acknowledge what they are, try to understand their nature and how they can be utilized in a positive way. And keep them in the system as long as you can so that they can be used and reused. And an example of that would be water and capturing rainwater, then using it maybe to take a shower and then reusing it to flush the toilet, because you don't need drinkable water to flush your toilet. And then reusing it again in your system to water your trees after you go through a wetlands and clean it up. So you're getting, instead of letting the rain fall into the gutter and go out to the ocean or go wherever it goes, you're using it four different times for four different functions in your house before you let it go where it's going to go. And it's a way to really increase in abundance. That's the purpose of that particular principle, is to increase abundance.
Principles.
So you can think of all different kinds of ways to do that and play with it. I advise people to just go out, look around your house and see where the energy is coming in and where it's going out, and decide what, you know, is there some way that I am missing out on some energy here that I could utilize in some way that's going to benefit me and was going to help my ecosystem and my community and people I care about.
Well, it was a kind of actually fun, Corinne, when we were actually doing in the class the exercise, you know, having the map of the blueprint of the house and, you know, find, you know, where the wind is coming, the sun and, you know, all this stuff, the wild animals coming to the ground, to the house and stuff. It is pretty amazing, actually. Mm. Very creative. You're dealing with a huge amount of creativity. I have to say that. You are becoming very creative.
It's fun.
And this is what is great about the permaculture, is that, you know, you can allow yourself, there is no limitations. You know, you just wanted to, you know, make sure that you're working with the nature, not against the nature. You know, and you have to learn, you know, about the, you know, maybe the plants that are attracting insect or the repelling insect and stuff. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It's very interesting. Nature is just a fascinating thing. And, you know, when you start seeing the interrelationships in the natural world, it's very inspiring. You get all kinds of ideas from it. And it's just fun.
Totally. Another thing what I would love you kind of to talk about a little more is that I was totally fascinated when you were talking about the edge and how to use the edge. That is the most, mesmerizing, you know, principle for me.
Yes, I really love that one too. And I think people who are interested in the subject are often kind of at the edge of their culture, maybe a little bit, in a very positive way. They're creative.
Well, thank you, because I could relate myself to that.
Yes, you're definitely on the edge. yes, and it's a place where there's a lot of energy and a lot of change happening sometimes, and a lot of interaction. A good metaphor or a good example of an edge would be between the woods and a meadow. And the meadow has all kinds of plant life and animal life, and the woods has a completely different set of plant life and animal life. And when you get onto the edge, you have the wood, the life from the woods, the life from the meadow, and you have a whole new set of plants and animals that exist mainly at the edge that like that kind of dynamic of where those two things meet. So you have this tremendous diversity and a lot of interchange and things going back and forth between that on that edge and existing on that edge. And it's just really interesting to observe how much abundance can occur when there is an edge, and to recognize that and to value that, as opposed to trying to keep everything homogenous or you know, like it always has been, or whatever.
I think, Corinne, you know, as I'm listening, what you, the way you explain it, it's like, wait a minute, the time where we are right now in, I think we are pretty much living on the edge.
Yes, there can be good edges and bad edges. We can be at the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, on the some level, you know, if we would kind of just step back a little and recognize the possibilities and you know, I understand the value on the, you know, and what's happening, you know, on the edge, maybe just to, you know, to create a different outlook on that, give a possibility.
Right. And that kind of leads into the principle of creatively use and respond to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, as a designer, that's something that is a very valuable thing to be able to do. And the beauty of permaculture is many of the tools that you get when you study the subject makes you better at doing that. It makes it easier to do that because we tend to resist change. And when you can approach it from the viewpoint of, oh boy, things are changing. I can work with this. It's an energy and it's an edge and it's something I can creatively interact with. Then it's a totally different thing.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, you don't have to be afraid of it. It's something you embrace and welcome, and you see the opportunity in it. And it's changed my viewpoint about so many things, these principles, and actually using them in a design and then seeing how they apply to my own life as well.
Well, you know, what I recognize, you know, myself, you know, traveling in the world and changing different culture, different, you know, countries and stuff, it is very scary. And I think that the same thing is happening when you are dealing with this kind of, you know, changes in the agriculture or, you know, in the permaculture that, you know, if you are not familiar with it, you don't know. So it's like you are, as we were talking about, you are afraid to make a mistake. But that's actually the beauty of it that, hey, if I make a mistake, now I know, you know, not to do it. Okay, what else can I now try?
Yes. And we're all going to make mistakes. I mean, you know, you have within permaculture, you have a support group, you have mentors, there's all kinds of ways that one can design a community that allows one to benefit from mistakes. And you of course can do that on your own too. But what I love about permaculture is that, you know, it's given me so many ideas about what an ideal community could be or what, and I'm not talking about utopia because we're not perfect beings, you know. I'm just talking about being conscious of the potential of setting up certain elements within the community that facilitate health and well-being again, you know,
Absolutely. And what I also love of the permaculture is this, as we were talking about, is a regenerative agriculture, and it helps with a local food system. And another thing what was fascinating about me, Corinne, when we were having a class on soil that creates healthy soil, that was amazing for me. I have to tell you, I got a totally different outlook about Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so many correlations with the body too, right?
Yes.
I'm sure you thought of some of those.
No kidding.
Because, you know, what I love most about the permaculture gardening is that we feed the soil. We don't feed the plant, we feed the soil. We create the conditions by which the plant can flourish. And we do the same with human systems as well. You know, create the conditions where a person can flourish. And what would that be? You can ask yourself, you know, what conditions would need to surround me for me to really flourish? And why not design those? Why not at least discuss them to start with? and, you know, think about what those are for yourself and start discussing them with people, because that's how change happens, you know, through ideas. But, you know, when you understand how to build vibrant, healthy soils, you can do it anywhere. You can do it in a desert. You can do it in any degraded climate.
That's what was fascinating to me. Any climate, we can use it in any climate. It's like, oh my God, gee, I mean, we are getting told that, you know, we are dealing with so much issue. Well, folks, let's educate yourself and find about, yeah, we can have a healthy, health, create a healthy soil. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. You know? And again, it's these principles. If you, you know, when you get to the core of some of a subject, and you understand the fundamentals of it and the principles, then you can think with that subject in any almost any circumstance. And I appreciate that about a permaculture, because it does focus on those core concepts. And
yes.
Yeah, just,
and you know what? And not just healthy soil, we can actually have a water solution. Drought proofing, rainwater harvesting. I mean, all this thing is just, oh my God. You know, we can do it. We just have to learn. Look, like I said, there's missing information is missing, you know, in the public.
Yes. And this is so important now with all the drought that's happening all over the world and flooding. So we have solutions for both. And we design for both. We design for too much rain, not enough rain, you know, too much fertility, not enough fertility in the soil. All those aspects can be designed for and compensated for. And when you look at how a lot of cities are set up or different houses and things, you, as a permaculture designer, you go, oh my gosh, you know, that was not a good idea. One thing that a lot of people don't know about the flooding that's happening in the Midwest and in Texas is that it's being exacerbated, it's being made worse by our agricultural methods, because when we clear the fields like we do, it doesn't leave any way for the rain to soak into the fields. When there used to be tall prairie grasses or forests or whatever, those are like huge sponges, and they can absorb many, many inches of rain before it starts running off into rivers and creating floods. So when we clear the field and plant corn, or even, you know, graze it down with cattle too much or whatever, the water starts running off. It can't be held in that sponge, and it swells the rivers and it causes these massive floods. And I'm not saying we wouldn't have floods with a lot of rain, but it's they're definitely worse because of our agricultural methods and, you know, the way that we use water in cities as well.
And well, you know, I hate to kind of put the, you know, the emphasis that, you know, so long we are pushing all everything just for the profit and money making and not caring, you know, what is really, how it's impacting the environment. These are the side effects.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's, the fix is so simple. That's the exciting part.
Exactly.
It wouldn't cost $1 million. It doesn't put farmers at risk. You know, I understand. You know, I work with farmers, and they could lose everything in one season if they don't do things, you know, the right way, quote unquote. So they're really up against a hard place, kind of. But there are ways to change the way that you're farming to a more sustainable way that will ultimately cost the farmer less money, and will produce more yield or more diverse yield, so that the farming becomes more resilient. Because right now, you know, a lot of what we do is on the edge, as you say. It's not resilient. It's vulnerable.
Absolutely. And, you know, on the other side, you know, I think also what we are dealing with the farmers, that, you know, they have to totally, you know, rethink the way they are, you know, approaching their agriculture and, you know, the permaculture or whatever they are doing. You know, they have to actually recreate their own thinking And that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time, you know, a hustle, because they have to give up so many things. And a lot of the time, people, again, we are again at the point people are not they are not willing to do a change.
Right. And but I do, what's encouraging is I do see change happening on many levels, even in very entrenched mainstream areas. There's a farm in Hawaii, for instance, that we've been working on a project related to that is been conventional agriculture. It's many thousands of acres of conventional agriculture, and they're now talking about changing over to more sustainable kinds of growing because, you know, they're recognizing that it can't go on forever. You can't do things that aren't sustainable forever.
Exactly. As you were talking, I said, you know, maybe we were suffering right now for quite a bit. Maybe we are willing to change.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no kidding. Corinne, I would actually would like to spend a few minutes about the plants, you know, that actually give a great support to the world. And moringa was the most incredible plant that I find out, you know, in the class. Do you want to kind of emphasize a little on, you know, a few plants?
Okay, sure. Moringa is a plant that I just love. It's a tree.
I know.
Yeah. It grows really fast. It's semi-tropical. It can take some freezes. Some people are growing it as far north as Ohio, and they either cover it with a greenhouse or it dies back every year and then comes back. You can't kill this plant. It's just so tough, and it's got just an amazing amount of nutrition in the leaves. It's easy to grow and harvest. It's like a miracle plant because it has so much nutritional value. It's a superfood, and it's such an interesting, fun plant to work with, too. So I would advise everybody to have a moringa plant. It does need a lot of sun, so you can't really grow it inside very easily, but it's pretty easy to grow.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it in the class.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's many other plants out there that are real miracle plants because they can help us move towards sustainability. They can help us change some of the most destructive patterns that we're engaged in. And plants like kanaf or hemp, of course. Kanaf is similar to hemp, except it's legal. It's you know, there's no controversy about it at this point. It grows in the south mostly. It doesn't grow too far north, but you can use it to feed animals. You can use it to make fiber or paper or clothing. You can use it to make something called kanafcrete and build a house with it. And there's a video circulating around on YouTube of some 6-year-old girl building a house with kanafcrete, which is wonderful. Yeah, it's just, they put it together like Lego blocks, and it's just wonderful. It's very strong, will last for ages. And, you know, when you really start looking into these different types of plants and we get outside of our box of having to grow pine trees for wood and paper, then you find that there's an amazing amount of plants that do incredible things. And really, there's no plant that doesn't do that. Almost every plant is medicinal in some way, or it has multiple uses, and it's just really getting to know nature and what's in your backyard, you know, what does that plant do?
Exactly. Well, see, again, we are coming back, you know, we are so disconnected from the nature that we don't know, you know, the qualities what the plants and everything is, you know, giving us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. Corinne, as we have only another 10 minutes, so I would like you to focus things. First, I would like you to talk about your training and classes and how our listener can actually get in contact with you. And then I will, you know, ask you more questions if you have time left over.
Okay. Well, great. I really appreciate you having me on. And my company is called Grow Permaculture, and you can find it on the website, growpermaculture.com. And we have a newsletter that talks about what we do. We do have classes in Central Florida regularly, 2 times a year. The next class is going to be at our farm. I have a farm, and we'll have some really robust demonstrations of permaculture in action there that people can see and they can interact with, they can help build. And that's really a nice way of learning. I believe in immersion learning, and we're going to have a field trip this weekend, by the way, that's going to have a lot of that.
Exciting.
we have an urban class that meets 1 weekend per month, which is fits with a lot of people's schedules in Tampa, in Florida. And I'm going to be co-teaching with some other really wonderful teachers in Belize, in Central America, at the end of February. And that should be a really interesting class for people who can get away for 2 weeks and want to go to an exotic location. It's a very established permaculture farm on 100 acres and many, many demonstrations of different types of permaculture techniques and some wonderfully experienced teachers from different parts of the world will be there. So that's going to be really fun. And all that information is on our website if people want to find out.
Okay, this is what I was looking for. You know, that, you know, do you have actually this information on your website?
Yes, yes, it's all there. And we really focus on trying to get across the philosophy, but more so the practical principles so that people can take this information and use it in their own lives, however they want to use it. And we also try to connect people up to the larger movement. There's really a lot of exciting and beautiful things happening now in permaculture worldwide, and a lot of opportunity. And so we really try to make that accessible to our students as well. So that
Corinne, how can people who are interested to do that, where can they actually plug in? Or do you have any information on that?
How people could plug into the movement?
Yes, yes. Do you know the groups or, you know, who you would recommend?
Well, you should definitely go on Facebook and punch in permaculture, because you'll come up with a lot of different sites. There's one organization that I'm working with is North American Permaculture Convergence, and mm-hmm. that's a pretty active Facebook site and a website. It's NorthAmericanPermaculture.org. And there's also a nice organization in the UK, a Permaculture Association, which is very established, and they're doing a lot of really wonderful things. You can kind of see the scope of what's going on in permaculture by linking up to that organization. I was just over there in England working with them, and they're a really great group of people. Doing a lot of pretty cutting edge work right now. So those are
nice.
Two organizations.
Yeah, and also I have to tell you, and I wanted to just my listeners know that actually next show in 2 weeks, actually on January 20th, we are continuing with the permaculture, and we will have a carbon farming. And guess what? I was able to get Eric to do the show.
Oh, that's wonderful. Eric Tonesmeyer is just doing some really, really important work, I think, in the permaculture movement. And he has some wonderful books out that I highly recommend for people to read to get introduced to the subject. Toby Hemingway is another person who writes some very good introductory books. His book Perennial Vegetables is great if you want to get something going in your backyard that has a lot of nutrition, easy to grow, fun and different. And Toby Hemingway wrote a book called Gaia's Garden, which is a book that a lot of people start with because it's pretty accessible and it's fun to read and there's a lot of good information in it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was looking for, Corinne, to finish with that, is that, okay, if somebody is totally lost, what would you recommend them? How can, where should they start, or how should they start?
If they're what? If
If
they're
they are lost, if they are interested, but they don't know where to start, what would you recommend them, where to start?
Start by reading, one of those books or linking up to some of the different websites out there. The Permaculture Association, my website has information on it. I continue to add information. I'm going to be adding a lot of information in the beginning of the year that's educational and linking to other resources. And that's what I would recommend to start. And find permaculturists in your own community. They're in almost every community, and sometimes you can find them through Meetup or Facebook in your local area. And a lot of times they may have meetings or events or some kind of activity.
Oh, Corinne, I have one last question. Are you getting, will you actually do classes online so people can actually from around the world, or around the country, from the country, from different states, actually participate online? Are you doing that too in the future by any chance?
I am actually putting together online curriculum, and I'm working with a couple of other teachers as well to put some very nice curriculum together, and that should be available by March of this year. It's
Oh,
hoping.
that's so nice. Yes. So, I will actually let also maybe I can put on the website here so people can actually get in touch with that too.
Great. That's great.
Yes. Well, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here on the show. That was amazing information. And folks, I hope you had a great time. And you know what? I actually wanted to bring you back sometimes in the future. So plan on it. We can have
I'd love
more fun. Yes.
it. You're wonderful, and thank you so much for having me too.
Yes, I very much appreciate, because look, like I said, that this whole permaculture is so actually close to my heart, because it's all about helping people, helping the nature, and actually have fun with that. Okay, Corinne, we have to kind of, we are at the end, so I'm so sorry, have to cut the conversation and the interview. So thank you so much, and folks, thank you so much, for tuning in, and I hope you guys had fun. Have a good one.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank
Good
you.
night. Night night.